Father, there are no coincidences concerning your will. Just as there was no coincidence that I woke up late this morning, forgetting momentarily that it was Sunday, so that I could preach live from the reading of your word today. I pray all those who will receive your truth, that it will never depart from them, never be forgotten, nor may it ever be covered up. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start off by saying this, and I have to type while I speak, and believe me, my brain moves slower than I type sometimes. But here, we see that to preach the word of God, it is not grievous. So what I'm going to preach to you today is not, should not bring you heartache. It should bring you peace. And it is safe. So how about this? Safety is found in preaching the word of God. You want to be safe, my friends? Study the scripture. Do you want to feel safe? Do you want to feel peace in your life? Study the scripture. See, we haven't even got past verse 1. Now you know how my mornings work. Glad you see me, Lynn. On the screen, and you hear me. Great. Finally, my brethren. All right, let me get that posted. All right, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. All right, this is interesting that this is in our reading this morning. And I'll tell you why. If you're on YouTube, you're going to see why. Let me minimize this. Let me go ahead and scroll down right here. Now here we're warned right off in Philippians to beware of a few things. And this is no doubt includes the Antichrist. Look, this is interesting. Look at this post here on Gab by a Josh Waller. He says that murdering babies is part of our religion. And then he has a screenshot from Haaretz.com, a news article that says that's entitled U.S. Jewish Leaders Decry Supreme Court's Nixing of Abortion Rights as Moral Failure. A moral failure, huh? Abortion right is a moral failure. U.S. Jewish groups overwhelmingly condemned the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, lamenting a direct violation of both our American values and our Jewish tradition. So here we see that there are Jewish groups, I guess, that state that abortion is their religious right based on their American value and their Jewish tradition. Interesting. Then I look at some of the comments on this post on Gab, and I see that I served said Baal worshipers. Kathy says they need to get rid of the Talmud and follow the true words of God found in the Holy Scriptures. Amen, sister in Christ. John Graham 365 says God's chosen people with a whole lot of question marks. Interesting. Dev HES says it's quite odd how Jews are suddenly taking their masks off. I mean, I've been waking up to the idolization of Jews by Christians over the last few years and realizing how wrong it is, but this year has been crazy with how blatantly in your face they've been about how much they actually despise Christians and our morals. So, let's see here. Well, I forgot to turn off the comments on TikTok. I get the haters on there. So here's some responses to this post, which I find interesting. I find it interesting that people are waking up to the Antichrist. But now they need to wake up to Christ. Why? Because you can wake up to the Antichrist all day long, but if you do not wake up to Christ, all that's going to be created is Hitlers instead of Christians. Then I get someone on Gab that says, I personally believe Hitler was a Christian. We must not bear false witness. Peace. And I reply to this. I said, bear false witness? Are you kidding me? Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now, I've read much of Mein Kampf, and I do not remember reading about the love of Christ in this book. I do not remember reading the love of Christ in Mein Kampf. But I do remember reading about this man's hate for the Jewish people. Now, this is what I will say about Hitler. I will say that he identified an Antichrist problem, but he sought an Antichrist solution. That was his downfall, no doubt. Now, I will give the only credit that I may give Hitler is that I do not believe that he orchestrated the murder of 6 million Jewish people, even though I know he hated the Jews and he was responsible for the death of many. I actually believe that he was framed based on the testimony of Jewish research, that he was framed by communist Soviet Jews for the 6 million figure to fulfill their prophecy so that they can regain back the land in the Middle East. That's what I believe based off of my honest, unbiased studies. And you say, well, do you hate the Jews? Absolutely not. The Jews founded the church. What I hate is their antichrist behavior, those who have rejected Christ, as I hate my own antichrist behavior called sin. We all need repentance, to include the Jews. And I pray for the repentance because God's not willing that any should repent, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The same person replies, I fear we have been deceived. I love you, brother. Hitler was fighting for evil. We fought the wrong side. There was no Holocaust, but there was Holodomor. When you play the Hitler card, you are supporting the devil. Unsettling, I know. God help us. And I told him, I said, I know. That is what they tell me about Trump, too. And all I know is this, is that the Antichrist will have a very easy job. The Antichrist is going to have a very easy job. Now, I agree. The Holocaust is blown out of proportion. And the Holodomor, which was a massacre of Christians, is not even mentioned ever. Who is listening right now that's ever heard of the Holodomor, where millions upon millions, more than 6 million Christians were massacred? You don't hear about it in the schools. You don't hear about it in the media. You don't hear about it, period. Because it was the same Antichrist communist who murdered these Christians who are controlling the narrative today. And that's why you hear about this 6 million figure, but you never hear about the murder and the genocide of Christians. Dio Gracias on Gab says the camps were real. The deaths of their occupants were real, though their cause of death is up for debate. The numbers are rightfully questionable, but in the end, it doesn't absolve the Nazis for their despicable actions. And I agree. Because an Antichrist problem is never solved with an Antichrist solution. Period. We know that war in itself is biblical as long as God defines the rules, not the Antichrist. We see war throughout the Bible, but God is defining the rules, not the Antichrist. A brother in Christ seems to be a little bit confused on my stance when I talk about these things, as the narrative has built to this point where you can't even talk about these things without being branded an anti-Jewish person or pro-Nazi. He even says himself, I love you, brother, but I find it difficult to understand your full message to the masses. Anti-Jew, pro-Nazi, but you follow Christ? It's pretty confusing. And I replied to this brother, the problem is you keep defaming me and telling me you love me at the same time. I am not anti-Jew, nor am I pro-Nazi. I am anti-antichrist. Let me say that again. I am anti-antichrist, period. How can I be anti-Jew? Jesus was king of the Jews. Are you kidding me? The Jews started the church. But you must differentiate between those who are the Israel of God, the physical and faith seed of Abraham, and those who are just of the physical seed of Abraham, but are antichrist. There's a difference. You're either of Christ or you're of antichrist, period. Now, there is a K3NDRAR3NA3 on, interesting username on Gab. But this lady, she has a picture in her profile. It's a lady who makes the most profound reply. And as of right now, she gets the reply of the day. She says, this kind of confusion happens when people want to ride the fence of believing what they want while still telling themselves they're looking for the truth. The truth is hard, not because it isn't easy to see, but surrendering to it requires a level of strength most people won't try to reach. Kind of like surrendering to the will of God, she says. This is profound. And it gets the reply of the day, because people are afraid of the truth. They are afraid of the truth that I preach to you today. And that's why I can't even talk about these things without being defamed as an anti-Semite. I do not hate any image bearer of God, Jewish, gay, whatever. I do not hate any image bearer of God. I hate that which is antichrist. And I'm commanded to love my enemies and hate that which is evil. That is our command, Christian. The solution is Jesus Christ, not that which is antichrist. Okay, so that right there really ties into verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are warned of these antichrists. And then it goes on to say, who the circumcision is, who the true Jewish people are, spiritually speaking, those who are from the Jerusalem above, which Paul was speaking of. He's not speaking to the physical Jewish people. He's talking about the spiritual Jewish people in Christ who are of the Jerusalem above, not this physical Jerusalem on earth that people idolize. And we see this in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Yet, dear Christian, you idolize the circumcised flesh. This is the mistake. You must differentiate that which is of Christ and that which is of Antichrist. Otherwise, you will be confused and you will fear the truth, like this gabber has said, so well said. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching law of the Pharisee. He's saying that if anyone had the right to boast in his physical lineage to Abraham, it was him. He was circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, but he put no stock in this physical association and affiliation. He went directly to his spiritual affiliation and association in Christ, being of the faith seed of Abraham. I am not born of the physical lineage of Abraham, but I am of the faith seed of Abraham. This is where the differentiation lies. Now, I thought I was going to type out some of these thoughts on Gab, but it's really just going to slow me down. So I'm just going to keep preaching them as we read. You're just going to have to follow along, those who are interested. Let me go ahead and make that note. Let me quote reply this on Gab. Hit play if you want to hear notes for today's reading. All right, let me post that. I'm not going to, if I sit here and try to type this stuff out, it's going to take way too long. All right. But at least you know what my day looks like in the morning when I type these live notes out. And I might do this more. I'm kind of liking this live type deal. So we may do this more. Go ahead, put your comments in on YouTube if you got anything you'd like to add. And then, yeah. All right, let's do that here. I'm getting some notifications. Let's see what we got. All right, here's Simply American 1791 on Gab. It says, it's funny how so often people defame those who bring uncomfortable truths to their ears. He is blinded by his own personal worldviews and is unable to see the truth in what you speak. I had a conversation with a pastor last night who honestly thought the Second Amendment didn't give you the right to own a gun and the Bible gives you the right to abortion. It's impossible to reason with these people. I agree, my friend. They're blinded. Blind it. 20th Cent Boy on YouTube comment says, preach. Let God's word be heard. Amen, brother. That's what I'm doing. I am preaching the word of God to you. And sometimes the truth hurts. Now, verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He counted loss for Christ concerning the zeal that he had, concerning that he was persecuting the church for matters pertaining to the law, being ignorant of Christ, even though that it pointed to righteousness. The law pointed to righteousness in many points. A blameless, but he come to the understanding and he knew that the law was fulfilled in Christ. Therefore, he counted all as loss for Christ. And he goes on in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So either you preach the truth that despises the narrative of our day, the mainstream media of our day, or you are a coward. Do you understand that the truth that is being preached here in the Word of God today was punishable by law in accordance with anti-Semitic laws in other lands, in other communist lands throughout history? That's why I say it may not be before long before the New Testament and many books of the New Testament are branded as anti-Semitic when they're not. The Word of God is not anti-Semitic. For God so loved the world. That means all image bearers of God. That he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Big John says, I find myself speechless sometimes when people claim to be Christians and know nothing of what the Bible actually says. And that is the problem. The problem is that people are taking the narrative of the mainstream media as the Word of God and not reading what I'm preaching to you today. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's by faith, my friends, not by the law. You and I fall short of the law, for all have sinned and fall short and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ bridges the gap for all people. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're gay. All are in need of repentance. And Jesus gives us repentance through faith. And he forgives us of all of our sin. I don't care what you've done. Jesus will forgive you if you trust in him. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Okay, we talked about that. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I died a long time ago, therefore I preach the word of God without fear. I do not care what you say, trolling hater. I only care that you come to the saving knowledge that I have came to when I was an 18-year-old kid. I truly care for you enough to tell you the truth. Your mockery, your insults, all of these things do not faze me in one iota or one bit, because I actually feel sorry for you, my friends. I feel sorry for you. But Paul preached the resurrection. He said that if I only would know the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that I would preach. And that is what I preach to you today, because that is why I am a Christian. Because like Paul said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then my faith is in vain. But I know that he rose from the dead. Therefore, our faith is true. There is nothing that can be compared to it. Name any other founder of any other religion who defeated death, who would claim to raise from the dead. Raise himself from the dead, that is. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. There is going to be a resurrection for those, for all of us. Yeah, our bodies will turn to ashes, but they will be resurrected for the judgment. This here, Paul is talking about this. And I believe in here, he starts to get into this idea of understanding the frailty of our human nature. He says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Meaning, he understood that he was working out his salvation with fear and trembling, which we read in a previous chapter. We are not there yet. So many are banking on a single prayer that they said when they're 5 years old. They said as if it were some hocus pocus prayer for fire insurance, but yet there was no change in their life. There is no repentance. They're living like the Antichrist. They think they've already arrived as it pertains to salvation, but they have arrived nowhere. Paul said, I have not apprehended yet. He knew that his salvation would endure to the end by faith, but he knew that it must be worked out with much sorrow, with much pain, with much suffering. We're not there yet, my friends. We must work as it is still called day, as we still have breath. We must fight for Christ. If we don't fight for Christ, who will? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget your past. Know that it's forgiven in Christ. Move on to the next step of your life. The devil wants to, he is the false accuser. He is the ultimate defamer. He is the one who hates you. He is the one who hates the image bearers of God, because we took his place as the light bearers of God. Redirect your hate towards him and towards those who bow to him. And again, not to them personally as the image bearers of God, but because of this, because of the evil that they do. Hate the evil and pray for our enemies. Philippians 3:14, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're in a spiritual war, my friends, and we must keep pressing forward. I don't care if you don't feel like it. How many mornings do I get up and I don't feel like opening the Bible? This flesh, it doesn't feel like doing things spiritual. It wars against your spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. So if you're waiting to feel like doing something for God, you will never feel like it. Serve him anyways. Press forward. Move forward. It's much like marching forward into battle. There's great fear of the unknown, but yet we put one foot after another, knowing that we're going after a righteous objective, regardless of what happens to us personally. This is the mind frame and attitude of Paul, because he is and was a fighter. He was a soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. I truly believe, my friends, if you start reading the Bible, you will start understanding some of these things that I have been able to understand over all of these years of reading the Bible. Big John says, I find myself speechless sometimes when people claim to be Christians. Oh, okay. I read that one already. UA Car Vargas puts a couple fire signs on there. Thank you for the encouragement on YouTube. I see a TikTok comment. They also freed Barabbas and allowed Jesus to be crucified. Yes, these are the antichrists that I speak of. You got to know the difference between the Jewish people who started the church, who are the Israel of God, and the Antichrist, who chose Barabbas over Jesus Christ and said, crucify him and let his blood be upon us and our children. You got to know the difference. Otherwise, if you see them all as one people, you're never going to get it, and you're continually going to be deceived by the mainstream media, the prince and the power of the air. Verse 17, okay, it was first, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. In other words, get on the same sheet of music, which is the word of God. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have for us an ensample. Mark, we are told to mark that which is of Christ, and we are told to mark that which is of Antichrist. But yet when I mark that which is Antichrist, I'm defamed as an anti-Semite. God help us. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of Christ. I'm going to read this again. This is Paul speaking, who wrote this letter to the Philippians. He said, for many walk of whom I told you often. Was Paul a Jew, an anti-Semite? He was a Jew. How could he be an anti-Semite? For many walk of whom I told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Who are these enemies? He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. It's not just the Jewish Antichrist either, my friends. It's all of those who oppose Christ that are Antichrist. And Paul, the Word of God, tells us to mark them. Not idolize them. Nowhere in the scripture are you going to see the word of God telling you or I to idolize those who are Antichrist. Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Show me one verse that tells you to idolize the Antichrist. And even go beyond that and call them the chosen people of God. Are you kidding me? What audacity. I think it's blasphemy. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, my friends. Otherwise, you will become a Hitler. God is his judge. All I know is that the Word of God says you shall know them by their fruits. So whoever has the audacity to say that he was a Christian, ultimately only God knows. But all I know is that I read of his fruits in Mein Kampf. And I don't see the love of Christ. So, verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's all Christ, my friends, and that's what I preach to you today. I do not preach to you hate of any image bearer of God. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what Antichrist background you have, what level of Antichrist you are. I do not care. If you are an image bearer of God, I love you in Jesus Christ, and I preach the truth to you today, and that is repentance. Turn from your sin. Call upon the name of the Lord so that you too can be saved and have the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that I have. Can you tell me that this Antichrist world has given you any peace in your life? I don't think you can, my friend. I do not think that you can at all. 20th Cent Boy, the great deceiver, is working hard today, and his demons are distracting and dividing us more each day. We must spiritually fight harder. And that's why you must be careful, my friends, because the left and the right are controlled by demons to take your eyes off Christ. It's all Christ for me, or it's all nothing. Period. You're not gonna get one on me, friends, because I'll point you to Jesus Christ every single time. All right, let's go back here. Let's see what we got for notifications on Gab. see if there's anybody else chiming in. Okay. All right, just a bunch of likes. All right, so Philippians chapter 3, we just completed. Now we're going to go into Jeremiah chapter 16. Let me get over there. You see how this is a lengthy process in the mornings, do you not, my friend? So I do appreciate those who support. This is my work, by the way. This is what I do. I'm retired from the Army. I had quit my job as a bus driver, and now I do this. I manage a short-term rental, and then this is what my work. I spend hours a day doing this, going through the Bible, reading the Bible, commenting on the Bible, and posting these in live notes and also in podcast format, which you are seeing live today. You're seeing the process of what I do each morning that I'm able to do so. Big John on YouTube says the two wings of the same pedophile bird. Yep. Two wings from the same pedophile bird. Until you start understanding the two-party system, political system in this country is corrupt, and it's led by that which is Antichrist, you're never going to figure things out. You're going to continue to follow all of these false political messiahs, to include Trump. All right, here we go. Let's see. Philippians. We're going into Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. What do we have, Jeremiah? What do you have for us today? All right, beginning in verse 1, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, well, just first point off the bat, the word of the Lord came unto him. This wasn't his ideology, you know, from his political training or any. This is from the word of God. Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughter in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword. and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowl of heaven, for the beasts of the earth. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go lament nor bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. All right, we'll park right there. You must understand, my friends, and I want you to read Romans chapter 1 again. But when a people reject the loving kindness and mercies of God, God is long-suffering to a point, but it then comes his judgment. Then comes his wrath. It is then that he unleashes the demons upon a land. He unleashes them. It's only because of his love and because of his mercy and because of his long suffering that these demons remain leashed. But when you point the middle finger at God with your rainbow flags and your sexual debauchery, your adultery, your fornication, and your porn, there's a time that God says enough is enough, and he unleashes these demons. Peace is removed from the land, and faith is refined. Those who have true faith will be made known, because suffering will become upon you like suffering has never come upon this earth when the judgment of God is on the land. And the only thing that will get you and I through it is the faith of God that endures to the end through Christ. You think that I'm mistaken? Ask the victims of the Holodomor. Ask those who were put into the gulags of Russia in the earliest 19th century, 20th century. Millions were murdered. Christians, millions murdered, slaughtered, and left to starve. Their faith was tried like they never thought it would be ever in their life. And I'm telling you, those who had true faith in Christ endured to the end. They did not reject Christ unto the death. So now you know why these evils come upon us. It's because God has unleashed it. God is in control, my friends. He will not be mocked. Verse 6, both the great and small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall man lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them a cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Why is this? Because the people of God knew it was coming. Those who are of genuine faith, just like I know it's coming. Judgment is coming. My friends, now when it does come, how shall I respond? I'm going to respond in accordance with the great commandment. And that is to love my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. That's it. All of the law and all of the prophets are fulfilled in that commandment, the great commandment. That is why I love my enemies. I don't know if my neighbor is my enemy or not. If they're antichrist, they're my enemy. But yet I'm commanded to love them. And so I will. Verse 8, thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes, and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words. Notice the verbiage in this chapter. So not only did Jeremiah receive the word of the Lord, he was commanded to show the people these very same words, the very same words that I preach to you today. And they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all of this great evil against us? Let me read this sentence again. Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all of this great evil against us? It is the Lord who unleashes these demons as he lifts his hand off of a land of protection. It is God through Christ who protects us. Woe unto the people who reject that protection, who mock that protection. Because when it's gone, they will mourn like they have never mourned before. You see the demonization of Christians grow in this land as the evil and the darkness grows. It's only going to get darker. I rejoice in this recent federal decision, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to stop the abortion of babies. They're just going to travel over state lines to do it. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all of this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Now, here are three questions that you and I need to ask when evil comes upon this land. Why is God unleashing this upon us? Number one. Number two, what sin have we committed? And three, what have these sins done towards our God? I'll tell you what they've done. They mocked God. They have become a middle finger towards God as people refuse to repent, even those who call themselves Christians. And then you wonder why the Antichrist mock Christianity? Because Christians refuse to repent themselves? They laugh at the idea of judgment coming upon America because America is so high and mighty and it's untouchable. Think again, my friends. Think again. Let's see here. UAK Vargas on YouTube says there are some churches around here that have that rainbow flag and BLM signs on display. I can't make it up. I was driving around on our gospel-filled road trip and I seen the same thing. It burdens my heart. UK Air says it's terrible. It absolutely is. Lauren M on YouTube says, yes, same. Our police department flies the rainbow flag. Guard your hearts. The rainbow has been hijacked, my friends, and that's why I say that it's a middle finger pointed at God. The rainbow was a covenant and a sign of peace between God and man. And we have taken that same symbol of love, of God's peace and covenant, and have pointed it back at him as a middle finger. And it's not just the middle finger of the LGBTQ+. Like I said, you can add F, fornication, A, adultery, P, porn. And even if this is committed in one's own mind, we are all guilty and in need of repentance. We must repent. We must ask ourselves these questions here that are posed to us in the book of Jeremiah. Then shalt thou say unto them, verse 11, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Now we know that the law has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and it's him that we're to keep our eyes upon. But yet people have veered to the Antichrist religion, to even idolize that which is Antichrist. Verse 12, and you have done worse than your fathers, for you behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. So here we see the choice of man. You either walk after God through Christ, or you walk after the imaginations of your own heart, making yourself your own God. That's the choice. And here is the repercussions for the wrong choice. Verse 13, therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither nor your fathers, and there shall you serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Woe unto the people who has lost the favor of Almighty God. Verse 14, let's see, I got some haters on, I got some haters on TikTok, laugh out loud, like there's six people here, bro, get a life. That's from Beth Oil Sin 2. Well, I pray for you, Beth Oil Sin 2, I pray that you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Minty Bitch 19th, this is a cult. Well, Minty Bitch 19th, I pray for you as well. I pray that you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I truly love you, even if you're my enemy, as Christ has commanded me to. It's not always easy, but I know I was where you were at one day, and I mocked the same things that you mocked. Therefore, I cannot forget where I came from. But as an 18-year-old kid, I realized that Jesus was born. I realized that he lived. I realized that he was crucified. I realized that he died, and I realized that he rose again. And I submitted to this truth by faith, and my life has never been the same since. I do pray for you, Minty Bitch 19. Thank you for stopping by. I do believe that it was a divine appointment, and I pray that the word of God will remain and play through your heart, mind, and soul. Big John on YouTube says, I see it as pockets of America being able to start repentance, focus locally, and make the changes required. I agree, Big John. I believe that we can affect change by loving our neighbor. That includes the neighbor on your street. And it could be through small things. My wife likes to take goodies and do little small gifts for the neighbors and really just try to show forth some sort of love towards our neighbors, whether they be anti-Christ or not. And I'm telling you, that really does make the difference. It really does. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. More Steve on TikTok says, what a grimy beard, bro. Thank you. The grimier, the better. Man, I'm feeling good today. People give me all these compliments and such. May the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you as well, Morris Steve. Thank you for tuning in. Lauren M. on YouTube says, we will always belong to a cult in this world. You just have to choose either the cult of Christ or the cult of the Antichrist. That's it. You know, maybe I'll entitle this episode the cult of Christ or the cult of Antichrist, your choice. Because that's really what it boils down to. You're either Antichrist or if you're of Christ. Either one. I've made my choice. Now you need to make yours. All right, we're going to continue to read here on verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall nor be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he hath driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. We've heard these words before from Jesus himself. He says, I will make you fishers of men. So that's what I do. And my lures is the word of God. The lure is the word of God. Each verse is a one. Each one could be a little worm. One could be a little fish bait, whatever. We're fishers of men, and it's by the word of God. I just preach it. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I just keep preaching it. And I know that even these antichrists that defame me, that mock me, if they hear the word of God, it will replay in their head. It will be brought to them. And if they're able to somehow drown it out through alcohol and drugs and sexual debauchery or whatever, temporarily, if that does not kill them, They will die one day, and all of this preaching will be brought up at the judgment. They will be without excuse because they have tuned in to the Word of God today. That's why I pray for all of those, to include cancelgod.com that says God isn't real on my TikTok. I pray for him. And I know that this is a divine appointment that they tuned in today, because they will be at the judgment. All of this will be replayed before them if they refuse Christ. So I don't hate them at all. I truly love them with the love of Christ and pray for each one of them. And this is what the fisherman is all about. We just cast. The Lord hooks up the fish he chooses to hook up. Some plant, some water, but God brings the increase. And honestly, my friends, as the haters come on, like TikTok, mostly on TikTok, those are the people that are searching the most, honestly. And that's why I don't really feel the need to be nasty or anything in return. I get sometimes where my failure is, I get nasty with those who call themselves Christians, who are hypocrites, who idolize Antichrist, who want to defame me and call themselves Christians. Now, sometimes I'll get in the flesh with them and I catch myself responding a little bit nasty in return, but not the trolls, not the Antichrist trolls. Yeah, I feel sorry for them. Pillar Hike says, I found atheism. Yeah, I don't hate these people. I feel sorry for them. Now, verse 17 says, for my eyes are upon all of their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. So Pillar Hike says the flying spaghetti monster is more real. God knows this. It's being recorded in heaven. He sees this. But yet there is forgiveness at the cross for Pillar Hikes, for his blasphemies and for his mockery towards God. There's forgiveness for him, just as I was forgiven. And Robert Page, so I'm glad a Christian, I'm glad there's some Christians on TikTok. My dad was atheist. I'm a Christian. Well, praise the Lord, Robert Page 240. I'm glad that you have spoken up today for Christ. Because normally on Twitter, I turn off the comments, but that's okay because I'm praying for these people. Nunya 666. I wonder if those numbers are in there for a specific reason. Nope, we're cracking up at you zealots. Ah, another Christian on TikTok. Jesus loves you. 19199971. Jesus is Lord. That's what I'm talking about, friends. And this is, don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't get nasty with the trolls, the Antichrist trolls. Pray for them. Verse 17, we see that God's eyes are on all of their ways. And then verse 18, and first I will recompense them their iniquity and their sin double. Because they have defiled my land, they have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Judgment of God is not pretty, my friends, and that's why I feel sorry for the Antichrist. Believe me, I truly feel sorry for the Antichrist. Verse 19, Jeremiah says, O Lord, my strength, my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. When's the last time you heard a health and wealth preacher preach this? Have you ever heard them talk about the day of affliction, the day of suffering? But here Jeremiah says, my strength, my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee, me, a Gentile, from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. Even an atheist believes in a God, that God is himself. Shall a man make gods unto himself when they are no gods? the Word of God questions. Let's see, Jesus, Pillar Hikes, I don't want to know that God. Well, he wants to know you, Pillar Hikes. He truly does. Jesus loves you. 1967, some are scared because we're in the end times and they're scared of persecution. You're right. We must not love our lives unto death. Let me get that verse. It's in Revelation. I'm going to quote it from you, but I'm going to do a search on it, so bear with me. Lives, I'm going to do a key search. Lives, death. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I heard a Christian once say that if I'm worthy to suffer persecution, so he spoke of martyrdom as being worthy of being selected for such a high honor. Death is a small thing to God, my friends. You should not fear it. It's just a bridge that a man or a woman passes to another life, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. The choice is yours. All right, continuing on. Let's see here, Lauren. Okay, already got that one, Lauren. Lord, my strength and my fortress. I like that. And my refuge in the day of affliction, Jeremiah says. And then the chapter ends in verse 24. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, either while you are breathing or on the other side of this breath, my friends. You will bow and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, whether you like it or not. All right, that concludes Jeremiah 19. So we looked at Philippians chapter 3, Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah 16. And now we're going to look at Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Okay, Deuteronomy always proves to be interesting because we're looking at various Jewish law. So this always can get a little bit interesting. Keeping in mind as we read this, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Is there righteous points that can be gathered from it? Of course, but it really is a schoolmaster that shows us that we can never live up to it and that we needed a Savior, a Messiah. That's who they were looking for, a Messiah that could bridge this gap, because there's no way that we could ever live up to all of these points of the law. I believe there's 613, I could be wrong, someone can correct me, 613 laws in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 24:1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Here we see, according to the law of Moses, that it was permitted to divorce for the sake of fornication. Now, there's a difference between fornication and adultery. It says for the sake of fornication, meaning that there was a betrothal time before the marriage. It's much like our engagement period time, where you're engaged to be married. And if it was found out on the wedding day that there was infidelity during this engagement period or prior to, meaning that the woman was not a virgin, that the man could divorce this woman, a bill of divorcement, because of this infidelity, not knowing that the woman was not a virgin, so he was able to divorce her. But the Lord said, I know that this was permitted under the law, in accordance with the Moses law. But I say unto you, what God has joined together, let no man bring asunder. So we're beyond the betrothal engagement period once you say the wedding vows and you're married. So I see no grounds for divorcement, even though some situations are extremely difficult. And I can only, there's circumstances of extreme abuse. It's tough. But then we read of God telling Hosea to marry a whore, a prostitute. So I'm not saying that I understand everything. I'm not saying that I can dictate everyone's circumstances as it pertains to being divorced. All I know is this, is that I'm not performing a marriage ceremony for anyone who's been divorced. I'm just not doing it. It's just a stand that I'm taking to get in this culture when there's a 50% or more a divorce rate within the church. I'm not doing it. Just go to the Justice of Peace. I'm not going to consider you to be less of a Christian. I'm not going to consider you to be less of a friend. I'm not going to consider you to be any less of use to God and His will in your new marriage. I'm just not going to officiate it. That's just a stand that I've taken against divorce. I hate divorce. God hates a divorce, no matter what the reason is for. Verse 3, and if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband which sent her away may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So once you're remarried, you say, well, I'm remarried. What do I do? Love your wife or love your husband. Serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and sin no more, which means divorce no more. I mean, I can understand some real difficult situations that may lead a person into divorce the first time, but man, when you divorce 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 times, come on. Who is the problem here? I mean, have you just been that unlucky throughout your whole life? I don't think so. We might have to start examining our own selves at this point. Verse 5, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year. And shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. That's interesting. I talked about this today, that war is biblical. It's just that God defines the rules of war. And here we see an interesting rule in the law, where a man was to take care of his home, his family for a year after he got married, before he was called to war. No man shall take the nether of the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh the man's life to pledge. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, maketh merchandise of them or selleth them, then that thief shall die. And thou shalt put away evil from among you. So here we see the slavery of those who were of the faith was considered to be evil and an abomination unto God. Verse 8, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently, do according to all the priests of the Levites shall teach you, as I command them, so shall you observe them to do. And we're going to see that this idea of leprosy that now is easily curable, it wasn't then so much, but we read about it today in the Old Testament, knowing that it is a representation of sin, because once it gets festered into the skin, you begin to lose body parts. And such is the life of sin in a believer's life, leprosy. It's also, cancer would be another comparable disease to sin in our days, and how it destroys the body if it's left untreated. And sometimes it gets to the point where there is no treatment for it. It's incurable. And that's where I believe our country called America has gotten. We've become a reprobate state where we're no longer curable. I pray that I'm wrong, though. Verse 11, thou shalt not stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if a man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee. And it shall be righteous unto thee before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, when he be of thy brethren, or of thy strangers that are in the land within the gates. So here again, we see the treatment of our neighbor that extends not only to our enemies, but our employees, our servants. We're to treat them as the image bearers of God that they are, to love them as our own self. And this is the difference between that which is Christ and that which is Antichrist. The Antichrist that spew hate on like TikTok, and they say, well, why do you care? Well, Diamonds Forever on TikTok says, why do you care? I care, my friend. Because that's the difference between that which is Christ and that which is Antichrist. An Antichrist doesn't care about me. They hate me. But I care about the Antichrist enough to share the truth of the Word of God and to pray for you. That's the difference. And you say, well, why do you care, Diamonds Forever on TikTok? I care because Jesus loved me, and therefore I love you. Believe me, I would not love you. I would not be talking in this manner. I would want to respond with the same hate. They said, it's none of your business. Well, I got it, my friend. It's kind of like, if you were driving down a road and I knew that the road was out and it was going into a cliff, would you want me to warn you, or would it be just none of my business and I'll just move on and let you go off the cliff? Would you want me to warn you, my friend? Now, if I choose to warn you, I am the Cornholio the Great on TikTok. If I choose to warn you, that is because I love you and I'm concerned about you and I don't want to see you go off the cliff. So I do consider this to be my business, if that makes sense. And that's what we see here with his interactions with people. This is the type of interaction we're to have with our enemies and with our neighbors, with our employees. It's this type of care and understanding that, man, I see that you're going down a road. The cliff is out. I'm warning you, my friend. I don't care what you have in your car. I'm not like analyzing the paint job that you have on your car. I'm not judging all of these things. I'm just trying to tell you that the road is out at the end of the road. I'm warning you, my friend. That's why it's my business. That's why I care. All right, verse 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So here it's very clear that I will stand in judgment for my own sin, not for your sin. And that's why we must examine our own selves, whether we be in the faith or not. Verse 17, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take of the widow's raiment to pledge. And that's why we read of pure religion, as written by James. He says, pure religion, undefiled, is to minister unto the fatherless and the widows. Yet the churches who call themselves Christians today have neglected the very thing, this very thing, to be entertained and to be a robber of the fatherless and the widows. So I can understand some of the angst of the Antichrist towards this hypocrisy. They do well in pointing out this hypocrisy of Christians. Good job. But now you must point out the hypocrisy of your own self and your own need for Christ. All right. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Here we see the principle and the point of not forgetting where you came from, Christian. some of us have been redeemed and forgiven of a very vile very vile debt of sin. So I would be careful of showing hate toward your enemies. Remembering where you came from. Remember that you were a bondman from Egypt and that God hath redeemed us. Verse 19, when thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thy hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. I have a question, Christian. What have you left for the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow of your increase? What have you left for them? Are you looking out for them? Do you even care about them? You do if you are seeking to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that completes Deuteronomy chapter 24. Big John says, I find it funny when people say prove Jesus was real and don't use scripture. I say disprove Jesus existed. I'm all the proof that you need that Jesus existed. The very fact that he has transformed my mind, heart, and soul in the manner that he has as an 18-year-old kid who was not raised in a Christian environment should be all the proof that is necessary. And I'm not the only one. That's why I say, as I posted yesterday, Christianity will never die. Let me say that again. Matter of fact, let me post that on Gab real quick. Let me post that on Gab. Let's see here. Christianity will never die. That's on YouTube. I just posted it. River to pray, studying about that good way, and who shall wait? All right, let me get this here. Where is it at? Videos. Here it is. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wait? Christianity will never die. Deuteronomy chapter 24 complete, which brings us to our last chapter, Christ friends, of discussion. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What are you doing today for Christ? That is the question. What will you do for Christ today? Verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. I'll tell you, every time I will fail you, you will fail me, and Jesus will never fail us. Don't praise me, praise God. Verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Remember this, friend. The rock, the stone, the weight that the fool carries when you want to respond to them. They're carrying a very heavy weight, a very heavy weight. Verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? That really is the problem. Another one of the things that get under my skin, I don't, the trolls, the Antichrist trolls, those who hate Christ, they don't bother me at all. Like I said, I feel sorry for them. but it's those who call themselves Christians that exercise a wrath that is cruel, an anger that is outrageous, and that are envious. I find this even in my own work. That's why I hate social media, because you start getting people following your page. I think on my Christ First Supremacy page, I have 5,000 people on here, and only a few follow it, or at least they interact with it. But people get jealous of these numbers and envious of these things, and then they want to sit on the sidelines and wait to sharpshoot and snipe at their own brother in Christ. Now, this I get mad at. If I'm not careful, I got to withhold my tongue. I probably should just bow my head and pray over these things. And sometimes I just allow the blood to shoot up to my head against these Christians. And by the grace of God, he brings me to verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. So then comes the difficulty of knowing when to openly rebuke a person and to do it privately. And so I don't always succeed in that area. I confess to you, I do not always. My weakness are those who call themselves Christians, who are envious, who are haters, who are filled with wrath, who are angry unto sin. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. But yet people fall for these kisses every single day from these political parties, from the two wings from the same bird. They give you a kiss, and you fall to it every single time. But yet I preach the word of God, and you take it as a wound. But this is where you find faithfulness, my friends. I'm faithful by God's grace to the word of God, to preach it in its truth and entirety, and knowing that the truth hurts sometimes. I hate you if I withhold this truth. The fool's soul loatheth in honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Every bitter thing is sweet. What are you going through, my friend? What are you struggling through? The Bible says that this bitterness is sweet to the hungry soul, knowing that God is molding us and shaping us, strengthening our faith so that we can strengthen the faith of others. Do not be as like, woe is me. Why am I going through this? I don't deserve to go through this. Instead, praise God for whatever you're going through, knowing that he's molding you and shaping you, because he is going to entrust you to be a minister and a friend to someone else in need. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. He's preparing you, my brother and sister in Christ. Whatever you're going through, he's preparing you to be able to be a man's friend, to give hearty counsel, the truth. Thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. He foreseeth the evil. He doesn't cover it up. He doesn't look at the shiny toilet lid when the rest of the toilet is covered in defecation and say that it is clean. He foreseeth the evil. He sees that the road is out, and he's warning those around him. But yet the proverb says the simple pass on and they are punished because they refuse to listen. take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him, a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. I love you, my sisters in Christ, but I'm not going to debate or get into any hefty arguments with you. If you want to try to attempt to do so. And I'll tell you why. Because you're emotionally based. Women are emotionally based. I know. I've been married to one for 27 years. And I love her with all my heart. And sometimes those emotions have put me in check. But sometimes they're just emotions that you don't want to mess with. So I'm not going to mess with the emotions of the women. Because if you get on the bad side of a woman who is not in Christ, God help your soul. God help your soul. Verse 16, whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and the anointment of his right hand with bewrayeth itself. Here we see that in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpened the countenance of his friend. I read all of your comments, even those of those that are which are antichrist, because the antichrist are sometimes very good at pointing out hypocrisy. So I do value their thoughts. I consider them. So even an antichrist at some times can point out our errors. Didn't that happen to Balaam and the ass? Did not an ass point out the errors of this so-called Christian? Sometimes God uses these things. Sometimes he even uses the Antichrist, the vessels of destruction, to point out our errors in our ways. So do not dismiss them. Pray for them. Encourage them towards Christ. And see what hypocrisy they're trying to point out. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water, face answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Hell is real, my friend. Destruction is real. And our lusts are never contained. Why do you think a man starts off with a base drug, increases that drug, and wants more of that drug? Why do you think a man starts off in porn, and the next thing he finds himself is in some even more debased sexual debauchery? Because it never can be fulfilled. Hell and destruction are never full. And that is why a rich man is never satisfied. Verse 21, as the fining potter for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. You will not change a person's mind. I do not claim to be able to debate anybody into becoming a Christian. It is the Word of God that transforms the mind and the heart. You will not be able to remove the foolishness from man. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to the herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth and the tender grass showeth itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for clothing and the goats are the price of the land. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food and for the food of thy household and for the maintenance of thy maidens. The Lord will take care of us, friends. Inflation is increasing out of the wazoo. The stock markets, financial markets are crashing. But this is what I do know. I don't know if they'll recover or not. But what I do know is this: the Lord will take care of his people. And I will end with that. Going to look at the comments section here. Okay, no more comments. So this is the conclusion of today's live episode. It would have took much longer if I were to try to type out these thoughts and put them in onto Gab. So I may try this format here again in the future. May the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to preach your word of God today in these chapters. I pray that your word would play over and over and over in even the Antichrist mind that opposes these very words that were preached unto you today. I truly pray for them, Lord, and I know that there are some of them who are searching, who will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the Lord may be speaking to one of you now. And I'm not trying to get you to say some sort of hocus pocus prayer for fire insurance. But as we continue to pray, I'd ask that you pray with me if the Lord is truly speaking to your heart. And pray something sort of like I did on October 31st, 1993. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I may not know a whole lot about the Bible or about these words that were spoken of today, but they have spoken to my heart. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong in my life. I know that I can never do anything to repay those things back. I can only hope in your forgiveness and the fact that you alone are the Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Lord, who died for these same sins to forgive me. I believe that you lived. I believe that you died, and I believe that you rose again. I call you my Lord and my Savior today by faith that you have given me. I repent of my sins, and I want to be the Christian man or woman that you have called me to be. May I live each day, one day at a time. Help me, Lord, through my suffering and the trials of this life and the pain of this life. Help me to find that peace through you that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Peace be with you all. All right, this concludes today's. I just closed out on the TikTok. It says there was 721 viewers, 503 people that liked it. Let's see here. And it tells you the viewer ranking of watch time. So there is people that at the top who stayed tuned in for 20 as long as 26 minutes. 20 minutes, 7 minutes, 11 minutes, 10 minutes, and onward down. And so even if there was someone who tuned in for 1 minute and got one scripture, it was worth preaching on TikTok today. It said that there was you got more views than 97% of hosts with a similar following. Praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Chuck. And amen, Sister Lauren. And if you have not seen the Christianity Will Never Die, the video behind that is a clip from the baptism of Lauren and her soon-to-be husband, Michael. And the clip is actually Michael's baptism. So I pray that you would boost that one. I think like viewing it and liking it and commenting on it and those types of things boost it. I don't know, whatever. But if it's put forth to more people, praise be to God. Because I'm here to tell you, my friends, Christianity will never die. I'll see you on the gab.com road. Again, peace be with you all. Signing out. I pray that this episode of Gospeled was a blessing to you. And if you would like to become a team member of this Christ work, simply pray. Pray that God would use this podcast mightily for His glory. Share the episodes wherever you can and support with a subscription if you're able to do so. We are in this together, Christ friends. Keep up the good fight.